Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Friday, January 7th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. As the reality of Omicron sets in, which is that it's highly contagious and less deadly, maybe we can take a step back and begin to just take a look at what I call the backstory or the underlying issue that the virus hopefully has brought to light. Now, I'm going to quote some statistics early on in today's podcast to make a point. But before I do that, let me just give you the overview. The CDC statistics show that 94% of individuals who supposedly died from COVID, and I say supposedly died from COVID because there's a whole other issue of, did they die with COVID, meaning they had something else and they happened to test positive, or did they die from? I'm just going to go with the CDC's explanation that 94% of individuals who supposedly died from COVID did so on average with three serious comorbidities, most likely linked, wait for it, to obesity. Now, according to some medical experts, nearly 78% of the reported COVID deaths are directly linked to the patient's weight. That's an unbelievable number. It's shocking, right? 78%. Their COVID was directly related to their weight. It's an uncomfortable statistic because if you try to start talking about obesity, then you're messing with all the corporations that make fast food, that make food, period. Additives and sugar, particularly sugar, the sugar industry. And you also get into this issue of, well, then you're fat shaming, right? I mean, that's another cancel culture no-no. The reality is that we're a nation with an obesity epidemic. That's what we should really be looking at as a result of Omicron. Because while Omicron and all of the coronaviruses have been their own problem, it's pretty interesting, or it should be. It should be on the forefront of our analysis that those spike proteins love fat cells, apparently. So here are some of the statistics. We, the United States, rank number 12 in the world for obesity. We're pretty up there. According, again, to the CDC, about 36.9% of American adults aged 20 and older were obese. And this was based on numbers in 2015 and 2016. The next statistic is that 37.9% of men and 41.1% of women are considered to be obese in the United States, and that's twice as many as three decades ago. 15% of children and teens are overweight, and that's three times as many as there were in the 1980s. We are more likely to consume simple carbohydrates, convenient fast food, and processed prepackaged food. Now, obesity is connected to the following diseases: type 2 diabetes, nerve damage, kidney disease, high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, and certain types of cancer. And in fact, obesity, if you take coronavirus or COVID off of the scale, no pun intended, the scale, obesity is the second leading cause of preventable death behind tobacco use. Now, that's all of the overview. I want to make it very personal here because that's where I feel like I do my best work, when I share my own experience and my own take on what's going on in our world. I come from a family where my father, My mother and my sister were all overweight. My father was probably obese for the majority of his adult life, technically obese. My mother was fat. I don't even know, back then BMI, body mass index, wasn't a big thing. For all I know, all three of them were obese at a point in time in their lives. There are reasons that people are obese. There's overeating. There's lack of physical activity. There's poor diet choices. There's genetics. There's metabolism. And then, of course, there's culture. Maybe because I came from a family where I saw everyone overweight, and maybe for whatever reason, I found that to be a problem, I've pretty much been weight conscious my entire life. To make a point, as for fast food, I've had it once in my lifetime. I don't know how many people will be able to say that who live in the United States. It was decades ago. It was because I was dating someone who stopped at a Wendy's and said to me, "Try it, you'll like it. It's a good hamburger." I did try it. It was before I was a vegetarian, which I am now. I liked it, but I didn't like it enough to keep eating it. And I've never, ever had fast food any other time in my life. In my very late 20s, very early 30s, I had a weight problem, meaning for whatever reason, I stopped being so concerned with my weight and I gained enough weight that I needed to lose weight. My clothes didn't fit. I was uncomfortable. I tried a protein diet, which was injectable protein. I forget how many times a week I went to this doctor and he injected me with protein. I didn't eat anything. It was a liquid protein diet. I went to Jenny Craig. I went to Weight Watchers. I tried acupuncture. And I have other friends who have been dieting all of their adult lives, but not me. After that experience in my early 30s, I decided that I had to be in charge of how I ate, of what I ate, and most importantly, of how my body responded to what I ate. I decided to take personal responsibility for my eating habit, and I paid really close attention to how my body responded to certain foods, and from that, I developed a way of eating. And I developed a way of dealing with foods that didn't give me the kind of response in my body that I wanted. I have, as I said, friends that have been dieting their whole lives. They've tried every kind of diet imaginable. And I feel badly for anyone with a weight problem because I remember what it was like in my early 30s. But I also remember how miserable I was when I was overweight. I like to say that I eat to live. And I understand that there are people who live to eat. I'm not one of them. So maybe it's easier for me because food for me is just sort of a necessary thing I do to stay alive. I've became a vegetarian in my 40s, and I eat a lot of the same things all the time. That can be its own problem. I recently found out I'm B12 deficient and B6 deficient, and my total protein is below where it ought to be. And all of that is a result of my vegetarian diet. But the moment I found it out, I began to deal with it, both in what I'm putting in my body in terms of nourishment and in supplements. The point I want to make about that is that I took personal responsibility when I got the information. If you're overweight, if you're obese, and you go to a doctor and they tell you you're overweight, you're obese, your glucose is off, your triglycerides are off, your cholesterol, whatever it is, if you leave and you continue to eat and live the way you were eating and living, and you continue to be physically ill, or not be able to perform physically in the way you would like to perform in your everyday work life, in your personal life, there's no one to blame for that except yourself for not taking personal responsibility because it matters. It matters what you do. Remember what I said at the start. Almost 78% of the reported COVID cases are directly linked to the patient's weight, and 94% of individuals who died from COVID did so on average with three serious comorbidities linked mostly to obesity. You know, I always talk on this podcast about we are free-willed, autonomous, divinely created beings. But the free will portion comes with a flip side. And the flip side of free will is personal responsibility. Because we are responsible for the consequences we create for ourselves and for others by the free will choices that we make every day. COVID has been hard. No one would deny that. We're still in it. And for some, it's been devastating. And its lingering and its long-lasting effects are going to be with us for some time. It is a flu. It is part of the coronavirus family. And like the Spanish flu of 1917 that's still with us, only it's what we call every year the flu, we're going to have this forever. It's how these things function. But out of every bad comes a good. I believe that. I believe that we can look at the most horrific story and we can find a higher meaning. We can find a higher purpose. We can take away something that makes us better, even in the midst of adversity or sometimes tragedy. The good that we can extrapolate from this crisis, from the pandemic, is that it has focused a bright light upon a little publicized but more deadly epidemic of obesity. The answer is simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. Take responsibility for your health by evaluating what and how you eat, and whether any or all of your health issues are self-inflicted. Because like much of what we do in our lives, we experience the consequences of our choices. And I know it's hard. It's really hard to accept and do something about the realization that, as the expression goes, I'm my worst enemy. But that's the starting point. It's the only place you can really change anything. You know, so many of us feel helpless about government, about, I don't know, wages, about, you pick the issue. We all feel helpless around it, or certainly not very empowered, right? Not very empowered to change the culture, to change the government, to change the corruption, to change all of the things that we struggle with on a daily basis. But the thing you can change, you have autonomy over your body. That's what you have. And no one's force feeding you. You're not in an ICU. You're in charge of what happens at that refrigerator and at that stove and at that pantry. And yes, as you drive by McDonald's. These corporations have become behemoths and their officers have become multimillionaires, their franchise owners have become multimillionaires. And I think there's an argument to be made that just like the manufacturers of OxyContin and fentanyl, who have killed so many people for profit, I think the argument can be made that the fast food industry has killed a great many people for profit. Now, again, you can't take on McDonald's. Let me not pick anybody out. Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, all of them. You can't control them or decide what they're going to do. But you have absolute authority and autonomy over what you're going to do. And today is the best day to start. I'm Carol Gold. Thanks for listening. I'll be back here again on Monday. And until then, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.